All right. Why don't we wrap Crunch Time in our traditional Thursday manner? And by that, I mean this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's the Nicholas lightning round. He done headed out of town. His crappy fantasy team is going down, way down the lightning round.
All right, I get to do a lightning round. This has been months and months
since
I've done one of these.
I used to do this for Justin.
I remember. And since Nick took it over, he has kind of changed what the lightning round used to be. But I'm going to go with his format because I frankly like it. So Zach Randolph, Steve, one of the prize signings of the Kings in the offseason, had fans actually feeling optimism about the Kings. I don't know. Actually, does Sacramento have fans? I'm not really sure. You got to assume Randolph got to California, heard that weed was legal, tried to buy all of it that he could find, like going door to door, asking for weed, handing out $100 bills. Maybe not exactly that. But the story is that Randolph, part of a group blocking a street, police got called. They looked into, you know, what they found. Cop cars were vandalized. They found a comical amount of weed, charged everybody with the intent to sell. So let's play the percentage game. There are still a lot of facts to be gathered in this, but what percent chance do you give Randolph to avoid suspension by the NBA?
Wow. First of all, unless he's got the worst case of glaucoma ever, he's not going to be able to sidestep the distribution charges. It was for my head, man.
The NBA likes medical weed, too, man. They're looking into it.
So, oh, man.
Good luck with that.
The NBA is not as anal about weed as the NFL.
They're not.
But if this, the problem is, it's going to take a while. He's got to appear in court on the 31st. So that's 3 weeks away. I give him a 10% chance of avoiding a suspension.
Let's stay with the percentages game on this one. Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers. Pittsburgh GM Kevin Colbert told the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette that Bell refusing to sign his franchise tender isn't gaining anyone anything because neither side's position is going to change as a result of it. He says it hurts Bell more than the team because he isn't working out, staying in shape, and isn't working with his teammates. If Bell signs his offer, then he becomes the league's highest paid running back for one season. He feels he deserves a long-term deal right now. While Bell says he only wants to be a Steeler, he's given no indication that he will waver in his decision to not sign the franchise offer. So knowing all of what, you know, what percent chance do you give Le'Veon Bell of starting week one for Pittsburgh?
Ooh, that's a good one. His problem is he missed the last 10 games injured of 2015, was suspended for the first four last year because he got popped for a failed drug test. The Steelers aren't budging on this. He's not getting a deal. So either he and his agent are like, look, you're just going to have to sign the tender. I'll tell you what, on the 10th right now, he could get in the camp this week. He'll be fine. But we have this conversation in a week or two, and it goes down, down, down. I'm going to give it a 50-50.
Let's stay with the NFL and go to multiple choice. Yahoo put out their list of top five NFL rookie running backs in terms of fantasy football. So stat accumulators, basically. So I'm gonna give you the list of five, and you choose your favorite. One, Leonard Fournette with Jacksonville. Two, Christian McCaffrey in Carolina. Three, Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. Four, Dalvin Cook in Minnesota. Five, Kareem Hunt in Kansas City.
Who I think is going to have the best season?
Mm-hmm. Statistically.
I'll tell you what. The word on McCaffrey, I mean, are we going rushing yards, all-purpose yards, touchdown, just so you can look back and say, man,
yeah,
he had the best rookie season of anybody. I have a feeling he's going to be like a Byron Marshall those 2 years and run a lot and catch a lot and have like 1,400 all-purpose yards. And this is just everybody says he's just jumping off the page. I'm going to go with the Stanford dude.
This has been a heavy week of Byron Marshall on this show, by the way. You got to love that.
The return.
That's right. Switching to baseball, Indians currently hold a four-game lead in the AL Central, a division I said earlier this week I refuse to pay attention to. until right now, but they forced my hand by going out and acquiring Jay Bruce from the Mets for essentially a handshake. Bruce is in the last year of his contract, but ninth in the league in home runs with 29, gives Cleveland a huge bat in the middle of their lineup. Fill in the blank on this one. Cleveland getting Jay Bruce is blank.
The final straw in them winning the American League Central. Now, you know the deal with Bruce. He doesn't hit for a big average, but he could kill the ball. He's still in his prime. You know, he's on pace right now for a 35-36 homer season, probably more actually, and about a hundy. So that was a wise move by Cleveland, who didn't panic when things didn't fall their way at the turn. So I'm going to say the Clevelands are your AL Central champs.
Staying with fill in the blank here, big news from Oregon football over the last week is the fact that the coaching staff moved one of the best players on defense from last year, guy who led the team in interceptions, Brennan Schooler, to offense. Rumors say that the new coaches didn't really like Schooler at safety, at the safety spot, thought guys like Brady Breeze, who was hurt last year, might actually be better. They also have a lot of questions at receiver, so they thought they'd give Schooler a look because they want to get him on the field. So fill in the blank. Oregon moving Brendan Schooler to wide receiver is blank.
Necessary? I'm going to play the numbers game. We've talked about it before. I think Taggart and these guys have made it apparent that nothing is etched in stone. Anything that'll make the team better works. So that switch seems to be absorbed well by everybody. So necessary.
Traditional lightning round format on this one. NFL finally came to its senses, decided to hire full-time officials for the upcoming season. 24 of the 124 refs in the league right now can apply with the NFL to become full-time, then Alberto Riveron, who is the new senior VP of officiating, will decide which ones to hire. So multiple choice. One, this is a good move by the NFL. It's a billion-dollar industry, and the calls made on the field too important to leave up to guys who have day jobs. Two, everything has basically worked out so far, with the exception of a few blown calls here or there. Not sure it was necessary. Three, not sure the officials will actually want this. Most of them are lawyers or in fields that pay them way more than the NFL could pay them.
This is necessary. The NFL officiating, even with replay, is just a horror show. And there's been, I think for certain guys, it'll work out. And like you said, how many refs are there? They're going to do 25. I think in a rarity, Goodell and his clowns might have actually gotten one right.
All right, last one here. The NHL has stood firm that they will not sanction their players to play in the Olympics. Alexander Ovechkin does not care. Told reporters in Russia he will probably miss 9 games because of those games in South Korea. The league gave Connor McDavid a firm no when he said he wanted to go. They did the same with Ovechkin several times. Players have been lobbying, but the NHL dug in its heels, even saying minor league players couldn't go. So who eventually wins this fight? A, the players. B, the NHL.
Well, Gary Bettman's an idiot. You know, I don't think much anymore of pros playing basketball. It's like you proved your point, whatever. Baseball's stupid at the Olympics. There is no football. The Olympic hockey is one of the best things that happens in the Olympics, winter or summer. But they're dug in. These guys are under contract. I'm leaning towards the NHL winning this and fans losing. Thank you very much, Gary Bettman. You pinhead.